Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, what the hell? What's the title of this thing? No title again?
And I did not leave me a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Yeah.
Turned out that it's horrible.
Well, yeah, because now people in Bolivia can't even afford it anymore. It was their staple food.
Right.
And because everybody wants it now, it's too expensive for regular people to buy it.
Yeah. Fucking vegans, you see what they did?
Yeah.
They're wrecking everything. You can say that all you want, too, because the vegans, you can make fun of them. They can't catch you if they try to chase you, because they have no energy. Anthony Bourdain.
I like the idea of only eating vegetables. I wish I could do it, but I can't.
I like the idea of only eating meat.
I like to have a little bit of meat. The way that I live is having a little bit of everything. I'm trying to.
Yeah.
You know, not a little bit of heroin or a little bit of cocaine.
Just a slight taste of heroin.
A little bit of sadism and a little bit of...
A bit of heroin, a little bit of sadism. And we have our title.
No.
Oh, it'll drive web traffic.
No.
I just don't want... I get tired of people just being dogmatic about stuff. That's also... One of the reasons that... I just wish that people could be... Could go on some kind of diet. Whatever that diet is. I don't mean like going on a diet. I mean like changing their diet. And just... They don't have to tell me about it. That's you know... Is there a lifestyle kind of diet? I don't mean like a Weight Watchers. I mean like a lifestyle kind of diet, like a choice you make, like vegan, vegetarian, paleo, whatever you're doing. Can you do that and just not fucking tell me about it? Because I don't care.
People are just sharing their...
No, they're not. They're trying to show you how excellent they are.
Oh, dear.
Well, a lot of them. I shouldn't say everybody, because it's not true with everybody.
Come on, Dave. I share an awful lot of stuff that I'm embarrassed to share.
It's not true with everybody.
Yeah,
thank you.
People have all kinds of...
Include me either.
You know, ideas about food.
That's Dave and Isabel, in case you don't know.
I find that it's the same with whatever religion they want to be.
I do love to share other people's podcasts on my podcast.
I've got a lot more respect for people's religions when they don't tell me what religion they are.
Yeah.
You know, I don't walk around telling people I'm an atheist. If they ask me, I'll tell them.
Mm. Yeah, sometimes I feel like saying it when people tell me, you know, God bless or whatever. And remember, Jesus loves you.
Oh, if somebody says that to me, I tell them there's no God.
Yeah. Sweet Gary at the university, he tells me that all the time.
Tells you Jesus loves you?
Yeah. God loves you. Jesus loves you.
Okay.
I had a friend in Newfoundland.
I recommend that you tune in to Dave and Isabel. Used to be Broca's area. Now it is Broken area. That's out of the Sioux here in Canada. And kind of a nice way to spend a Sunday. I drove into my office, did some marking. Now, on the way home, I stopped at Bluffers Park, which is where we are now, and thought, oh dear. Dude, can you really start a podcast now when you don't have a single thing in your mind that you want to share, that you feel the need to talk about? Is that just not going to lead to vapor, you know, just... Oh, a lot of words and nothing really of substance, no content. That would be terrible. And that may be what happens. Because boys, girls, I can say I've got nothing, but I want to follow up on the last podcast. I was talking an awful lot about change and how hard it is to change. And I thought last night, it was around 2 this morning I got home, And I raided the fridge, of course, and there was some mabo tofu. There was some tofu my wife had made with some really spicy sauce with it. A little bit of leftover rice in the rice cooker. And, of course, I put the rice in a dish, cover it with this tofu and this sauce, zap it in the microwave for about a minute, and, oh, man, was it ever good. I mean, really tasty. And, of course, I hadn't had supper. I just drank beer. So anything was going to go down well, but that went down especially well. And I thought, I haven't taken advantage of the fact that my wife, being Japanese and an excellent cook, has so much to teach me. And I've never stood and said, you know, honey, would you teach me how to make that? In the past, she offered, and I've just gotten so lazy. And I'm... This is sort of a follow-up to the last time. Is this something I need to change about myself? Okay, you got to be a new man. You got to do what's right, and you got to learn to cook and make this stuff yourself. That sounds like it makes perfect sense. Yes, I should do that. But there's another part of me that comes home drunk 2 a.m, finds this wonderful treat in the fridge, eats it, thoroughly enjoys it, is totally happy, and thinks, why do I have to change everything if everything is going well now? Like, if I'm happy and I'm enjoying these things, why is there this feeling that you have to be better somehow? You have to do things. It's like the gardening. I really know I should get out there and garden and plant tomatoes and vegetables and spice and everything, but my wife is doing it. And I love to have a beer and stand out on the deck and watch her working in the garden. Now, she's doing it. She complains, you know, nobody else will if I don't. But I know she's also enjoying it, too, and doing such a wonderful job at it. And I know it... It sounds terrible for me to be saying these things. That, hey, you do have to do it. But I've been lazy all my life. There's just no way around it. I am plain bone lazy. Although, you know, I do get things done. But it's about this issue of change. And is it even possible? Is it required? And is this not where I ended up the last podcast when I said, stop beating up on yourself, you know? It isn't necessary to always feel you have to change. So I don't know. I guess I'm just going to leave it there and come back to you. This is just a start, a little nip and a tuck just to get in there. I'm going to go back to listen to Dave. My wife's happy. I'm coming home today. I'm stopping at Swiss Chalet. We got chicken for dinner. It's right around the corner for us, and we love that. So everybody's good. Everybody's happy. I think. So I'm going to leave it there. That's it. That's all we got. Maybe I'll try doing shorter segments and get back to all the other stuff that counts. Whatever it is.
So just tell them that leprechauns also exist.
You love me like you used to do. How come you treat me like a worn-out shoe? My hair's still curly and my eyes are still blue. Why don't you love me like you used to do? Ain't had no loving like a hugging and a kissing in a long, long while. We don't get nearer, further, closer than a country mile. You spark me like you used to do and say sweet nothings like you used to coo. I'm the same old trouble that you've always been through, so why don't you love me like you used to do? Just be like you used to be. How come you find so many faults with me? Somebody's changed, so give me a clue. Why don't you love me like you used to do? Ain't had no lover like a hugging and a kissing in a long, long while. We don't get nearer, farther, closer than a country mile. Why don't you say the things you used to say? What makes you treat me like a piece of clay? My hair's still curly and my eyes are still blue. Why don't you love me like you used to do? Why don't you love me like you used to do? Why don't you love me like you used to do?
Yeah. I was right on the borderline of, do I just drive home now? Or do I stay here and chat with you? And if you're hearing this, that means I've decided to stay here and chat with you here, which is, of course, Buffers Park on a Thursday, a very icy, cold, freezing, Wednesday. And I've just been napping. Man, oh man, I snore. I just, sometimes I love to sleep in the car. It's not really weird. I just drive to Buffers with the idea of podcasting, and then I'll just have a little nap first while I listen to the Sleep Political Gab Fest, and then just this going off to sleep. But man, it feels good. It's really nice. But now I'm frozen. Of course, I don't leave the engine running when I'm doing that, so it's cold. I wanted to talk about some things, and the some things I want to talk about are the people who podcast. I listen to quite a few, as you know, and I've mentioned many of their names on this podcast before, and you've heard the clips in the background, and it's the usual suspects. But it hit me even harder last night. Last night being the night we had a live podcaster meetup at the Imperial Pub. Tuesday, we just brought it back. It sort of it died off, you know. Those of you who follow know that we had this thing going for a while. Second Tuesday of every month, back room, the Imperial Pub. And we did it last night. Just for old time's sake. It was Vinyl Countdown. That whole crew and their hangers-oners. And Brent, the Closet Geek, and myself. Yours truly, the Scarborough Dude. And it was very pleasant. It was wonderful to get caught up and chat with people. I had the fun of sitting in, actually, on a Vinyl Countdown. I didn't have much of a part because they didn't want to hear my ghost story. I don't even know why I brought it up. What a stupid thing to do to even mention ghost story. Because I got poo-pooed from the start. There's no ghosts. There's no God, you know. And well, wait a minute. But it was fun. What impressed me the most was I sat back and just watched them. I was more part of, like, watching it live. And they've gotten pretty good about just rolling off each other of, you know, one picks up the thread and jumps over here, and the other one, they don't step on each other. They just do it really well. And I love to see that. Mine, as you know, is a solo podcast with the odd interview. Sometimes I think I'd like to do more with other people, but excuse me, I think I'm just better off on my own. And that's what the Dixon Change podcast is all about anyway. It's just the dick. But watching the Vinyl Countdown, headed by Keith McNally, do a live show was pretty cool. It was funny because they had a little a game, and it was all a setup, and you can just listen to yourself, or listen for yourself, of a trivia contest on Star Trek. I don't even know the body shows. Maybe The Next Generation, and I don't know if it was Deep 6-9, or who. I had no idea what they were talking about. Not a thing. And it was, in fact, it was hilarious, because Craig had set it up so that all the questions that went to Joel were going to be really hard and impossible to answer, and anyone that went to Picard 102, he was going to be able to answer, and even if he didn't answer, the machine was going to say, that's right, that's right. So it was a whole setup just to put Squidpod Joel in his place for bringing it up in the first place. It was just a bit of humor, college humor almost, that was just very, very funny. And, but what amazed me is I just sat and watched and had no idea. These guys are just so deep into their shows. And it's like when I listen to, Best Episode Ever with some other pros, Anthony Marco, Dave Broadbeck, and Bob Goyetch. I've mentioned that several times. And these guys, they just do such a nice job of getting into their TV shows, their nostalgia for this or that, whatever it is they're talking about. I mean, it's all TV shows, of course. That's the show. That's what it's about. But they do such a great job. Now, not without the help of a little Googling here and there to bring up the episodes. But again, this stuff is done on pro level, and it's for free, and it's just part of this culture of podcasting that I want to, rave on about just once more. Not for too much longer, but just enough to let you know that this is such a wonderful thing. I think it's a liberating force. And again, whenever I get a chance, I rave on about how great this thing is that's not controlled by the government or licensed this way or that way, but it's just people who feel like talking and putting out a show can go and do it. And God damn it, it better always remain that way. Free and uncensored. I guess all I want to say is there are just so many other shows out there that are so entertaining and so much fun, and it's bringing so many people together. Again, like you take Vinyl Countdown, those guys just have fun doing it. They like to hang out in real life. They have a great time. And although with Best Episode Ever, these guys are in three different cities, Hamilton, Sault Ste. Marie, and Montreal, so they don't meet in real life, they hang out on air. And it's just neat because I know they have a great time before they put the show on and while they're doing it. It just makes me really happy. Damn, I thought I had a lot more to say of like a profound nature of the importance of podcasting in today's world. I do believe that. I really do believe it's a force of good against commercialism, against the big corporations who want to direct media at you. And in, you know, reverse, here's an organization from grounds up of the little people putting out their shows. And I wish and wish and wish more and more people would be podcast listeners. You don't all have to be podcasters, but you got to be podcast supporters. Because there's something about the voices of real people, the intimacy that's involved, but just it's back to us. It's just ours. Belongs to us and nobody else. That is fantastic. So, well, that was a bit of a washout, wasn't it? I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to go back on. This is back home and warm up. But I wanted you to know that that live podcast, getting out there and just catching up with people, having a few beers and a few tokes and just chatting was just great fun. And we all got to do that more often, because it's not just the podcast, it is the podcast community and the opportunities to meet IRL in real life, you know, IMS in meat space. Speaking of which, PodCamp Toronto is coming up February 22nd. If you got a chance, be there. Gonna be a blast, especially the Saturday night party, although it's a younger crew organizing it this year. Picard 102 has got a lot of weight on his shoulders to pull this thing off. And I wish him well. Him and his new team. All right, I'll back at you later on with more serious stuff. Bye for now.
I'm sure at Burrabowden, and I'm sure at Tuggermine. I'm sure at Big Willand and out on the Coleraine. But before the shearing was over, I wished myself back again. Shearing for old Tom Patterson on the One Tree Plain.
all among the wool boys, all among the wool. Keep your white plates full, boys, keep your white plates full. I can do a respectable tally myself whenever I likes to try. They know me round the country as Flashback from Gundagai.
I've shored at Big Will and Ran, I've shored at Tilbury. Once I drew my blade boys up on the fame barfoo at Cowan Downs and Strider as far as Malamine. But I was glad to get back again to the One Tree Plain.
All among the wool boys, all among the wool. Keep your white blades full, boys, keep your white blades full. I can do a respectable tally myself whenever I likes to try. They know me round the country as Flashback from Gundagai.
The Woolsies and rushed with Bebos too. Shaved them in the grease, my lads, with the grass seed showing through. But I never slummed my pen, my lads, whatever it might contain, while shearing for old Tom Patterson on the One Tree Plain.
All among the wool boys, all among the wool. Keep your white blades full, boys, keep your white blades full. I can do a respectable tally myself whenever I likes to try. They know me round the country as Flashback from Gundagai.
I've been whaling up the Lachlan, I've dosed on Cooper's Creek. And once I rung Kunjingi Shed and I blurred it in a week. But when Gabriel blows his trumpet, I'll catch the morning train and push for old Tom Patterson's on the One Tree Plain.
All among the wool boys, all among the wool. Keep your white blades full, boys, keep your white blades full. I can do a respectable tally myself whenever I likes to try. They know me round the country as Flashback from Gundagai. All among the wool boys, all among the wool. Keep your white blades full, boys, keep your white blades full. I can do a respectable tally myself whenever I likes to try. They know me round the country as Flashback from Gundagai.
Testing, testing. It's Friday afternoon. How I love Fridays. I've got an 8:30 class, finished by 11:20, you know, and do my usual little bit of maintenance and housekeeping, fire off a few emails to the naughty students who didn't show up for class, and home by noon. And God, what a wonderful feeling. The week has been done. Has been done. I've been teaching. I've been teaching verb tenses all week. No, the week is done. The week has finished, but not has been done. God damn it. And it is a cruel subject to teach, the rules of English. Oh, my God. But we do have fun with it. And I've been playing a lot of Beatles at the break time and just... It's not even that it's Beatles, but that it's music that the students can enjoy hearing. Anyway, here we are, Friday, in a bit of a snowfall at Bluffers Park. I've pulled right into the handicap parking spot, right at the little boat launch area, where people come to feed the ducks and swans and geese. And they're all sitting here on the frozen water, looking miserable, you know. I don't think they feel cold quite as we do, but it does not look like fun. And, somebody just showed up. Oh, let's hear them. Yeah, I don't want to infringe on his special time, but somebody just showed up all wrapped in fur and is feeding the pigeons. I think it's a regular thing. Some people do, just the way they feed the cat in the other parking lot. I've been listening to Anthony Marco, formerly known as, what was it, Slacker John MD on CFMU Radio way back then. If you happen to have lived in Hamilton, which I didn't. Ooh, what are birds landing on my car? Hey, get off my roof. Oh, Jesus. That is a seagull. On my sunroof, because the guy next door is feeding them. I should open the window. It's hilarious. They're sliding, because the sunroof is glass and covered in snow. And they're sliding along my roof as we record. This hasn't happened before. You know, this guy, I don't know what he's feeding them, but man, they're happy. Anyway, I wanted to talk about, right off the bat, Mayor Ford is still the mayor of Toronto. Now, there's a lot of people out there all pissed off and angry, well, he should have been fired, he did something wrong. But the truth is, what he did was a stupid thing, but he was not putting money in his own pocket. He was not like those fucking crooks in the province, La Belle Province, who are, taking money from underworld shakedowns for overinflated contracts for the city works. This guy was raising money for a football team, one of his pet projects. And I think, it wasn't just that. It's the fact that a lot of people don't like his style. They don't like his the way he's coming from. They don't like his views. He was democratically elected. And I really resent the fact that a lot of left-leaners just can't stand this, and their high-powered lawyers are going out to pull this guy down. And there are worse people out there whose efforts, where the effort and energy should be directed. Corrupt real estate agents, bankers, lawyers, people who run prostitution rings. There are so many other people out there that we should be focused on. And yes, we want integrity and honesty in politics, but it's mostly the people are coming down on Ford because they don't like Ford. They don't like him. Oh, that big fat pig of a, mayor. And it's just bugging me. He wouldn't be my first choice for mayor, but I'm really turning into, it's not that I'm a Ford supporter, but a defender of his right until the next election comes up and we vote in somebody else, This is just really, really beginning to bug me. I hate Harper. I don't even know if I hate Harper. I don't want him leading Canada. I don't like his vision of Canada or lack of vision. I want him out of power. But by honest means and through the next election. And if the rest of the other parties can't get together a decent platform and decent leaders, well, that's the way it is, boys. Get your shit together and offer a better alternative. So, if you're outside Toronto, like my American listeners out there, this probably means nothing to you. It is civic politics. But here in the city, this is a big deal. And everybody was waiting on today for this vote to come through and whether or not he gets to keep his seat. There are still other charges, other investigations. People are going to look at his spending and so on. But man, oh man, this is a time when normally, this guy's right-leaning, and normally, I'm on the side of the left, obviously. This is a time when I think the left is being just as dirty as any time the right wing has been. There are bigger crooks. There are bigger fish to fry. Go after the people. Be outraged at the rapists, the killers, the bullies, this little 9-year-old kid was shot through his living room window sitting there watching television, by mistake, of course. Go after, track down, find out who those people are. Go after the dirty cops, the ones who plant drugs or steal drug money, and yet, they get dragged through the courts and they get off with a slap on the wrist, no jail time. Go after so many other victims. Leave the fucking Mayor Ford alone. Yeah, so much of that. So much for that. We don't want to waste any more time there. I think I better stop, take a breath of fresh air, and come back with something a little more important, perhaps. So hang on, and we'll be right back.
Toronto's controversial mayor has been told he can keep his job.
I'd like to begin by saying this has been a very, very humbling experience. I have enormous respect for the judicial system, and I'm very, very thankful for the decision it made today.
Rob Ford speaking after Ontario's divisional court struck down a lower court ruling that he should be removed from office. The lower court had found Ford violated conflict of interest laws by taking part in a council vote to repay money he had raised for his private football foundation. The CBC's Jeff Semple on Mayor Ford's legal win.
He thanked the thousands of people who have shown support, suggesting that 95% of the people in the city supported him in this. I think recent public opinion polls would probably suggest otherwise. I think Torontonians were pretty split on this one, as they were certainly in the last election, too. Although, having said that, Rob Ford was elected with a very strong mandate. But I have the decision from the Ontario Divisional Court with me, and a couple of points that seem to have turned this decision in the mayor's favor. The first is that the court clarified that because Mayor Ford didn't actually receive personally any of the money that he'd solicited from lobbyists here at City Hall, that that meant that the act didn't apply in this case. And of course, you'll remember that the mayor solicited just over $3,000 for his private football foundation. None of that he kept personally, so the court made reference to that. And they also pointed out the fact that Toronto City Council, according to the Divisional Court, never had the right to order Mayor Ford to pay that money back in the first place. And as a result, any actions that took place after that are considered effectively null and void, again, according to the Ontario Divisional Court's ruling this morning. So certainly it's been a roller coaster for this city over the past few months, and obviously an emotional roller coaster for the mayor.
Jeff Semple in Toronto.
Yeah, going to try that technique again where I don't plug in the earbuds. I can't hear me talking now. Well, I can, but what I'm really hearing in the earbuds with my iPod is the Rolling Stones from, I don't know, side D or something of, is it Exile on Main Street? Something Barnacle Bill gave me. She's so young. Maybe I'll play it for you. Speaking of playing tunes, I used to follow, you know, some pretty tight rules about how songs fit in, and it was always the longest part of the podcast, me choosing what tunes to plug in where. You may have noticed that I don't care anymore. I reached 1,000 tunes. I played over 1,000 different tunes on this podcast, and now I've told myself that was just sort of, if ever somebody came down on me, like the law, if I, hey, you're not allowed to play those tunes in your podcast, I'd say, fuck you, I don't get a cent from this. It's costing me more money to put up this goddamn podcast. All the records I buy. But, and besides, you know, I only play every song once. Well, we've done that. We're past that. So on this one, you might hear something from my essential Australian folk tunes, which I got when I was in Japan from a weird Australian guy who sort of borrowed it from the Australian embassy. I think that's how I got hold of it. We had to let the guy go. He just didn't fit. There were some weird dudes trying to make a living teaching in Japan. And I got in the position of interviewing some of them, and some you just felt sorry for. And I remember one guy, he just kept getting into injuries. Our company had him, and he started to look like a pirate, had a patch over his eye, and he was limping. And the general manager, the Japanese general manager, said, well, hey, who is that guy? Get him out of here. He doesn't look good. Yeah, they could do that in Japan. And you can sort of understand, didn't reflect well on our image. The guy was just a little too weird, fringe character. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked here. Last episode, I played The Birds and The Ink Spots, and the reason for that was because that's what we used to play down in Reginald's basement. We all got stoned sitting around his water pipe, and Reggie was just the master of tunes, and we were playing LPs back then, and he'd put on a cut, and it would just be perfect, and the rest of us stoned high, waiting for the next one. All the pressure's on Reggie, and he would just psych us out, because he'd say, ooh, 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 got it, you know, and he'd just know, and he'd get the silly grin on his face, and then you knew from then on, whatever he put on was going to be the best possible tune, and, sometimes it was The Ink Spots, and we think, holy fuck, this is cool, this is fun, you know. It's when Reggie is wearing his grandmother's hat, and we're all thinking this is all a whole lot of fun. Anyway, I went to see Django last night. Oh, God, do I want to talk about that now? I don't give away plots, and you know I don't do reviews. I just tell you how I felt about it, and I think I had to see it, and there's a part of me sort of, I wouldn't quite say wishes I hadn't, but understand why a lot of people wouldn't. A bunch of kids came in. They were just kids to me, probably just of age, maybe 14, I don't know, if that. sitting in the front row, so of course, ahead of me, and I just backed up a couple of levels because I knew there were going to be cell phones and talking. And I felt bad at the end of it. I thought, you guys, you sat and you watched those scenes of people being brutalized and hurt. You saw all that pain and suffering, and you knew, you had to have known. I know it's only a movie, but things like that really happened in real life, too. I think that's why the movie was made, as a reminder. Slap in the face, America. Holy fuck, you are a barbarous people. Keeping slaves, that ain't right. Abusing, oh my God. The cruelty. Anyway, I just don't see how any of those kids could have walked out there and had a good evening after that, you know, said, well, gee, I'm glad we did that, wasn't that fun? Because they came in all high and giggly and wanting to have a nice time. And I felt bad, you know, for them. I gotta tell you now, it's hard. When you got tunes playing in your ear and you're a little bit high and the tunes are just right, and you're thinking, holy fuck, I didn't even know I had that one. It's hard to talk to you at the same time. So maybe we'll just pause this baby here if we're even recording and get back to Django later on. But oh man, well done. I do like Tarantino. But painful to watch. Talk to you later.
Mama was queen of the mambo, papa was king of the Congo. Deep down in the jungle, I start banging my first bongo. Every monkey like to be in my place instead of me, cause I'm the king of bongo, baby, I'm the king of bongo bong. I went to the big town where there is a lot of sound, from the jungle to the city, looking for a bigger crown. So I play my boogie for the people of big city, but they don't go crazy when I'm banging on my boogie. I'm the
king of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come, baby.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Nobody like to be in my place instead of me, cause nobody go crazy when I'm banging on my boogie. I'm a king without a crown, hanging loose in a big town, but I'm a king of bongo, baby. I'm the king of bongo bongo.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come, baby.
King of the bongo.
Hear me when I come. They say that I'm a clown, making too much dirty sound. They say there is no place for little monkey in this town. Nobody like to be in my place instead of me, cause nobody go crazy when I'm banging on my boogie. I'm the
king of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come, baby.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come. Banging on my bongo, all that swing belongs to me. I'm so happy there's nobody in my place instead of me. I'm a king without a crown, hanging loose in a big town. I'm the king of bongo, baby, I'm the king of bongo bong.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come, baby.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come. Mama was queen of the mambo, papa was king of the Congo. Deep down in the jungle, I start banging my first bongo. Every monkey like to be in my place instead of me, cause I'm the king of bongo, baby, I'm the king of bongo bong. Hit me when I come. Hit me when I come, baby. Hear me when I come.
Je ne t'aime plus, mon amour. Parfois j'aimerais mourir tellement j'ai voulu croire. Parfois j'aimerais mourir pour ne plus rien avoir. Parfois j'aimerais mourir pour plus jamais te voir. Je ne t'aime plus, mon amour. Je ne t'aime plus tous les jours. Je ne t'aime plus, mon amour. Je ne t'aime plus.
One of the issues, hang on, we have to discuss on the Dick James podcast is dual realities. And by that I mean your reality now listening to me and my reality now sitting here on the little folding camp stool. I knew enough as I got out of the car to leave the thermos of coffee, which I think was a mistake, and carry the little stool that I keep in my trunk, this little tripod, because I knew, whoa, every bench you look at is going to be covered in 2 inches of snow. You can't sit there. But you're going to want to sit. You're going to want to find a view and sit. And then I knew enough. Stick a couple of those special pins in my top pocket and bring the lighter, just in case, you know. And here I sit. Right on the edge of Lake Ontario. Lake on fucking Ontario? Fucking Lake Ontario. Lake fucking Ontario. Lake fucking Ontario. Big as she is. This lovely little corner in Bluffers Park, right by the coastline. It's all trees and hills and bluffs that I look back on behind me. Deep in the snow, beautiful in the snow, and I knew today when I got up. I knew I was going to come here Saturday anyway, but I got the added bonus of doing this in the snow. And by God, she's nice. So that's what I'm experiencing right now. And I could just be experiencing that alone. But the dual realities part comes in when I say, okay, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to enjoy the things that I'm hearing in the background on my iPod. And I'm going to talk to you at the same time. And it's always a good experience. It's always a really good experience. Part of me was a reminder that, dude, this is your living. This is the now. This is me sitting here in the snow. And each moment, each day, each hour passes and is spent, and you head towards your death. And it gets closer and closer. So you want to say, oh, hey, whoa, if it's going to be an end to this, I better be aware of what it is I'm doing right now. I better be tuned in and enjoying this fucking ride. Because otherwise, what's the fucking point? Because once you're dead, if you could wish, you'd be wishing, holy fuck, I wish I was alive again. That's what you'd be thinking. Unless your death was a mercy brought on by things like you'd see in the movie Django. Anyway, I wish you well. Folks out there, boys and girls, you the listener out there, I really do wish you well in all my heart. Whoever, wherever, whenever you are, I wish you well. I wish I could give you a little bit. I know I'm shouting. All right, I'm sorry. I'm excited. I wish I could give you a little bit of happiness. I wish I could just sort of sprinkle some fairy dust on you and say, woohoo, woohoo. Enjoy. Enjoy. Taste, smell, eat, fart, fuck, you know. Enjoy. Because it's a limited time offer, this life of ours. It's a limited time offer. I want to reach out to my good friend Rick Klaus out there in Seattle, Washington, I believe, somewhere. Probably walking his dog in a park right now, if he ever gets to this point. He's still listening to Tim Coyne right now. Him and me talking. That was a good one. If you haven't listened to that, go back, listen to Tim Coyne, myself. I think the point of all this, boys, girls, some of you I know, some of you I don't. Those of you I know, the Dave Broadbacks, the Mark Blevises, the Bob Goyeches, the those of you I interact with, spend time with, I'm just so fucking glad I know you and I met you. And I met you through this medium of podcasting. And this is why I have to keep coming back to this and saying what a fucking wonder this is. And why it's almost, I don't know if it's painful or annoying to me that Barnacle Bill and the boy down in Australia don't get this. They don't get, they were participants in the zine, the Dixon Jane zine. And I think they got really just pissed off when I sort of yanked the plug on that. Well, because, hey, it was mine to do. 20 years is a long run. And I didn't feel anybody was joining in. And then it turned out for me, for you, it was the right thing to do because it led me to podcasting. I spent a year after that Dixon Jane zine folded and listened to music. And shared that music, sent that music to a friend to say, wow, I just heard this on from a magazine called Mojo or, what's the other one, Uncut. This is great stuff. So I rediscovered music and then just after that, found podcasting. Everybody asked me how. I said, well, through that Wired magazine. Well, found Wired. When did I find Wired? Well, I picked up a copy in Vancouver, North Vancouver, in fact, on my way back to Japan. It was probably a stopover, and I was bringing it with me. I thought, here'd be a good magazine to read in Japan. Must have been it. Must have been it. I know for sure. I was showing it to Barnacle Bill and saying, hey, this is a new magazine. It's kind of cool. Barnacle Bill leads a different life, and he just seems to get annoyed with me for not interacting properly anymore, and I get kind of annoyed at him for, fuck, man, give me a break. You know, I am interacting, but I'm doing it in a different way and with different people, and I like it. And I tell my wife about it, and she kind of laughs, but she knows she likes Barnacle Bill, and she knows Barnacle Bill's a good guy, and Barnacle Bill might be lonely sometimes, and maybe I've sacrificed some elements of the friendships I had with the friends from before podcasting in celebration of the new friends I found through podcasting. And it's like I've replaced a whole set of friends. Those of you out there listening, showing up at things like PodCamp Toronto 2013 in May 22nd, 23rd, 24th, or whatever. Hope to see some, not May, February, sorry. Hope to see some of you there. If you get this in time and you're within traveling distance, show up. Not likely to be many of you. Anyway, I just want to say, for what it's worth, I'm feeling good sitting here on a bench. And Barnacle Bill would approve of this. Barnacle Bill would have done exactly the same thing. Sat in a park and lit up a toke and made something of the day. So here's to Barnacle Bill, my old friend, the guy who helped me keep Dixon Jane's zine going all those years, collecting the funds. And maybe he's right. Maybe I've done a dastardly thing. But hell, I did a lot of dastardly things. Barnacle Bill was my traveling buddy, my drinking buddy, the guy I sat around campfires with, moaning about the fact we didn't have women, and finally went over to Japan, I got a woman, I got married, and I came back, and remember at the start, he wrote letters to him and the boy, and said, hey, I've met this woman, and I sent them photographs, and I think they were sort of seeing, because I was so in love with my dear woman I had met at that time, a gorgeous young woman. And I sent pictures back, said, I found the love of my life. This is her. And they said, hey, okay, let us decide, you know. And I think they decided. I'm glad of it. You still going? Yeah. I'm listening to me now. Something bad came on the iPod, and I figured out. In that, talk to you. It's a little better to actually hear myself. I don't have to scream anymore. Sorry about that. I'll try and fix it in editing. Yeah, right. It has been such a pleasure. Now, I was on an important theme there. I was talking about Barnacle Bill and that friendship, and I remember this campfire. I said to him, we were camping somewhere in Canada. When? Why? I don't know, but it was after I'd been married. Maybe I'd gone out west on my way back to Japan on a trip. Because I used to stop over in Vancouver. Coming and going. And I said to him, if anything ever happens to me, I want you to look after my wife. Something like that. And I don't know if I picked up that line in a movie or saw it in, you know, some comic. You know, your father and the son talking or something. I don't know where that came from. But he didn't like it. He didn't like me laying that responsibility on him. Like, hey, what the fuck? Don't lay that on me. Where did this come from? And of course, I realize now it was a ridiculous thing to say. But maybe at the time, I don't know, there was some reason. It stuck with me. It haunted me. It means nothing now, but I guess what I'm talking about is the complexity of the friendship I have. I think he's a single man. He's living with his last cat. He had a brood of about 8 at one point. And he's just back from Australia visiting the boy. And I think he just expects a little more out of me as a friend that I'm willing to give, because it seems every email exchange we have, he's shouting at me for something, you know? Bold letters if I don't answer a question, you know? How old is your son now, you know? And if I don't answer, then, you know, he'll repeat it again. And then accuse me of never paying attention, never interacting, and basically telling me what a shitty friend I am. Hello, boy. Gorgeous little dog. Yes. That's a nice blanket you got. Yeah. People out walking, enjoying this beautiful sunshine. It's surprising there aren't more people here in the Bluffers Park. By the way, in case you didn't know, somehow you stumbled on this by chance, you're listening to the Dixon Janes podcast, one of the best goddamn podcasts out there, you know. And the reason is because it's me doing it. And it's not that I'm so special, except I am fucking special, and you goddamn well know that. But it's more than that. It's the fact that I'm really trying hard. I don't try hard in a lot of things in my life, but I try fucking hard to make this an interesting podcast for you to listen to. And I try hard by not trying. It's very zen-like. It's very zen-like, as you can tell. Yeah, I mean, in all sincerity, I'm so grateful that there are people out there who actually listen to this and enjoy it. It's a tremendous wealth. This is the book I wanted to write. This is the answer I finally found in my life. Those days up in the Yukon, sitting in the bar, telling my friends, the age of 27, I'm going to be a writer, you know. I'm going to write that book. Yeah, you do it, Ken. You do it. Because that's how I'm going to define myself. And now, how many years later? From 27 to 65, almost. I'm realizing this is the book I wanted to write. Because all I really wanted to do was just communicate with people. Just reach out there and touch someone. It's in me. It's born in me. I have no choice in this matter. Some people do. You do this. You do that. Jill does this. Jack does that. And this is what I do. I try and communicate. Anyway, of course, it seems a lot more profound to me as I sit here seeing it in the snow, in the cold. Had a nice little chat with Sue's Muse this morning about something Julian had posted, and I kind of disagreed with, because Julian was sort of saying, it was about taking responsibility for your choices, which I agree in, but almost saying that some choices don't matter in them. And it almost implied, it didn't matter who you married. And I know he didn't probably quite mean that, but I decided to pick on it anyway and post a comment, and that got Sue's replying and me replying and her replying, and it was kind of a neat interaction, you know, the kind of thing you do in social media. Of which, by the way, Sue's Muse is an expert, as is Julian. So I know some of the bigwigs here, you know, I know some of the important people in this thing of social media and those people out there who actually do write books for a living, like C.C. Chapman. I met C.C. If C.C. saw me, he'd probably know me. If C.C. saw me, now that'd be a great title, isn't it? If C.C. saw me. Should use that for a title for this episode, if I can bloody well remember. If C.C. saw me. Oh, I love that. Because C.C. saw me at PubCamp Montreal doing a presentation, one of my zen-like presentations I used to try and give. Basically, they became just ego shows, pictures of me and my house in Valleyfield and who I am. But I always loved presenting at PodCamp Montreal, and it saddened me that they haven't done it anymore. They just can't get an organizing team together. But there will be PodCamp Toronto, and PodCamp Toronto, I think, I hope, I'm sure, is going to be a blast. Friday night at the Imperial Pub, Saturday night at the Ryam's Head Inn, or whatever, and at Ryerson. Drinking and talking, oh yeah, and talking most of all, talking and seeing the friends and seeing the faces and sharing the laughter in real life of the people, some of the people you care about, like Big Anthony Marco, who I've mentioned many times, one more of those characters out there who does listen to the Dixon James podcast, you know, when he has the time, when he's not podcasting on his own, by God. Now, he is one of the best out there. I mean, he, when they joke about the, you know, the Marco, the Anthony Marco Emporium in Hamilton, he's got a lot of podcasts going, and he's a master. He is a true master. He's reached his masters, you know, in the best Asian sense of the word, level of podcasting long ago. Like, he's just shot right up there. I started re-listening to Disculture, and I realized, wow, that's an important podcast to be out. And, of course, never miss an episode of Love Hate Things, even if it's just to help them get to sleep. And best episode ever. And, anyway, you've heard all about that. Why am I giving free plugs to these bastards? Ooh, four big Canada geese flying straight towards me. God damn, I wish my eyes were a camera and I could just... Zzz. That's coming, isn't it? That's coming. Like, you just, I'm looking at that now. I don't want to put down the recorder and fish out the camera. I just want to go, zzz, file that one away to memory, and then somehow be able to transfer that memory to your hard drive, you know, or whatever it is you're using to communicate with people. How do I send that picture that I'm seeing now to you out there? Oh, I think that's the next step we're going to have to reach in the future. We got a long way to go. This is just audio. But audio is pretty special in itself, isn't it? I'm sure you'd all agree. Anyway, I've gone on for quite some time. I've been trying to keep shorter. Sherpa clips here, but it's been fun, and that's probably the end of this Dixon James episode, and might even be into the next one. Who knows? Thanks for listening. As always, Scarborough Dude, over and out. Catch you real soon.
It's down the road I go, and I've got those weary, lonesome, homesick Jones. Well, I'm down the road. Well, it's down the road I go. Well, I've got the blues somewhere down in New Orleans. Well, that keep haunting me. Well, it's down the road I go. Young hellos, gypsy voices calling me. Well, I'm down the Hey!
I'll find my way back home.
Thank you.